Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Triple Threat Sports Radio 610.
Good looking player, man.
Sean, Rich, and Ted with you. Ted's last day today, in case you missed it. We have a one-on-one I did with Jonathan Joseph earlier today that we'll play in just a few minutes here. We've also got odds on who's going to replace Urban Meyer. But if you, and Urban Meyer has not been fired yet. He's only on paid administrative leave. And he's put out a statement. Now, the statement is fairly lengthy.
Yeah.
But the upshot of the whole statement, the ending statement says, "I ask that you continue to support the incredible coaches and student athletes in our program, and I look forward to rejoining them soon."
Yeah.
So Urban Meyer is he's not going quietly into the night.
No, he's getting ready to defend himself and try to grab back full control of his job. I'm going to read one quick excerpt from the statement because I think this is the most significant part of the statement.
Yep.
Quote, "My words, whether in a reply to a reporter's question in addressing a personnel issue, must be clear, compassionate, and most of all, completely accurate. Unfortunately, at Big Ten Media Days, I failed on many of these fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personnel issues with the media, and I apologize for the way I handled those questions."
I have two reactions to that. Ooh. One, this guy's meticulously prepared for everything in his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
If you go read any Urban Meyer book or listen to any Urban Meyer speech or press conference, I guarantee you preparation down to the most minute detail is part of that. So for him to be unprepared for this, if that's what he's claiming, is completely out of character.
Well, he's also promising full disclosure because he says, "I understand there are more questions to be answered. I look forward to doing that with the investigators. I will fully cooperate. At the appropriate time, I will also address the questions and speculation in a public forum."
Okay. Part of what he said also prior to what you just read, Rich, was that he did take the appropriate steps in 2015 when he found out about Zach Smith.
That's right.
He said, "Here's the truth. While at the University of Florida and now at The Ohio State University, I have always followed proper reporting protocols and procedures when I've learned of an incident involving a student athlete, coach, or member of our staff by elevating the issues to the proper channels. And I did so regarding the Zach Smith incident in 2015. I take that responsibility very seriously. And any suggestions to the contrary is simply false." That's Urban Meyer talking. This is me talking now. We need to see the documentation that you took those steps in 2015.
And
there should be a paper trail, right?
Yes, and he's also asking us to completely disregard his statement at Big Ten Media Days when he said of the 2015 accusations, quote, "There's nothing there."
Yeah.
I mean, you can say that you weren't prepared, but you still lied.
Right.
I know you weren't prepared, but you still lied.
You lied.
Being prepared has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Right? That's exactly right.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that has nothing to
He's
do
trying
with
to say,
it.
"Hey, I didn't lie because I'm a bad person. Yeah. I lied because I was unprepared. I wasn't ready."
Yeah, I wasn't ready to answer that question the way I would want to have answered it if I was prepared for it.
Roger Clemens once referred to that as misremembering.
Right. Well, misremembering is when there's a detail here and a detail. I'm not saying Roger's definition. I'm saying my definition.
Right, right.
If you miss a detail here or a detail there, and there's a hole in your story, when you're up in front of a bunch of media people, depending on the context, I could see something like that. But like you said, Rich, he went into complete fabrication of something that's the exact opposite of what's in this statement, right?
He said it. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't have a lot of sympathy for the guy.
Yeah, that's not getting flustered and misspeaking. That's lying.
Yeah. If you're not prepared for it, then just say, that's an internal thing, and we're going to, and then step back and live to fight another day with the truth.
I'll be curious to see how long he fights this. I mean, so this is his first kind of, fire back, right? His first missive to kind of tell us what he's been thinking.
And he's clearly planting the seed that he expects to keep his job.
Of course.
With that last sentence there.
But there was maybe question marks. Maybe you want to exit this thing quietly and kind of, or are you going to fight it and keep it going? He has. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to go quietly. I think everybody expects him to fight this thing, and this is the first step in doing that.
I still think he should be fired, but I'm not ruling out he finds a way to save his job.
I'm not either.
Absolutely in play.
Because the school, I think, is going to be complicit in doing anything that's going to help him keep his job, because he is the steward of a big moneymaker at that school.
You don't think there's going to be people putting pressure on them to fire him?
That's where we
call out the hypocrisy of people's fandom.
Right.
Do fans and big money donors, do they want him there after knowing what they know about him?
And this is a state school, too. You know, do people higher up than Gene Smith, the AD, want to keep him there?
Like
right?
The governor.
Yeah, I mean, it could go up to the governor.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, so this is it's a very layered thing, and it's a long way from being over. We'll get to the odds that we talked about later in the show, because we've got to make sure we stay on track here time-wise. Maybe we'll save it for the top 5 at 5, because I'm sure Urban will be in the top 5 at 5. And Lisa Ann's going to join us at the top of the hour. Let's hear from Jonathan Joseph. I sat down with him out in the rain today. He and I just grabbed a couple chairs in the middle of a rainstorm and decided to share pleasantries with each other for about 6 minutes. Here is Texans cornerback Jonathan Joseph earlier today. With Texans cornerback Jonathan Joseph. Jonathan, good to have you, man. Let's first talk about you coming back here this year. You were a free agent. You decided to come back here. Take us through that decision process.
My first time since, the lockout 2011, since me joining this team, I had a chance to be a true actual free agent. And, it's kind of the similar same process, but, I've been here for a while, and this is my home, basically my new hometown. Made a lot of friends on this team, and, kind of embedded to this team, so I wouldn't have it any other way than coming back and joining the Texans. I had other options, better money, more money on the table, more guaranteed money and things like that, but it wasn't about that. It was about me coming back and joining these guys and trying to bring a championship to Houston.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that championship thing, because you're a veteran guy. Obviously, I'm sure there's a sense of urgency about winning a ring. Part of that has to be you feel great about the roster around you here and your chances to win a ring this year.
Oh, absolutely. I had a couple different situations, but, that wasn't the main thing. I seen the moves that we made heading into this season. I know the mentality that O'Brien, Brian Gainey, and those guys have upstairs. So I put my faith and trust in those guys, and I just went with it, Anytime in this league you play this long, obviously you're blessed. And at this stage of my career, I'm just blessed to have a chance to be able to pick my team.
Yeah, and you're one of the veteran guys on this team. Now, you have been for a while, but especially in that defensive back room, how are you embracing that role as sort of the elder statesman in that room?
I'm always there. My ear is always listening to things in the room, seeing what guys need help at. My eyes are always open, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, however it is. I'm always there for the guys, trying to help out in any way possible. And it's more so just trying to give them the knowledge on and off the field and just help them be a better pro and a better person in life.
What was your reaction when you found out the news that Tyrann Mathieu was going to sign here in Houston?
It was big, man. It was big. I heard a little rumors about it, little rumblings about it. And I've seen him, from afar. I know the type of player he is and his mentality. So to add a dynamic player like that to the team is big. Just the buzz that's surrounding him and the things that he brings. Just the instant leadership role, just the instant accountability and things like that. It was big.
We have former Texans wide receiver David Anderson on our show every week.
D.A.
And we asked him a question this week about new guys coming into the locker room and assuming leadership roles, changing the culture. And we asked him if there was a player who did that back when he was with the team. And he brought up your name immediately when you came in 2011. Can you take us back to 2011, what it was like being a new guy? And was that something you were cognizant of? It wasn't a great defense the year before, and you guys became great that year. What do you remember from coming into this team back in 2011?
I just remember going through that free agent process and looking around, looking at teams. And me and Andre Johnson, who was at a wedding, Fred Bennett wedding that summer, and we had a long talk and, talking about possibility of me joining the team and things like that. And then as it got closer to free agent time, it kind of happened. And just the discipline that I learned throughout the early stages of my career from Mike Zimmer and those guys in Cincinnati, I just wanted to come over here and instill that to the younger guys. And when I came in, it wasn't much talking. I just wanted to fit in the locker room and lead by example. So everything I did, I made sure that I led by example, whether it's in a walkthrough, practice, in the film room, and guys just bought in and started to pick up and follow.
What's it like having a fully healthy front seven in front of you with J.J. and Whitney and Jadeveon up there?
It's big, because when you talk football, everything goes hand in hand. The quarterback can't have any success if you don't have an offensive line. Wide receivers can't catch any balls if the offensive line can't block for the quarterback. And it's no different than the defensive side of the ball. The defensive backs can't do their job well enough if up front is not rushing the passer and vice versa. We got to get those guys an extra half second so they can get to the quarterback, and same thing for those guys.
How much does it help that you have an offense? As a defensive guy, now you have an offense that can go out there
and get you guys 30 points in a game. You don't have to be perfect every Sunday that you're out there. And obviously a lot of that ties back to number four.
It takes a lot of stress off you from a defender. You know, when you're playing a game, you're clawing for every inch, and every inch counts. You know, it kind of dictates the way you call the game a lot of times because, you know, a lot of those situations, oh, we got to get the ball here. We got to help the offense out. We got to do this. And you don't think about it that way, but, you know, that's what it is in that situation, whatever the reason may be. And now, obviously, having the guys like Deshaun on offense, hopping all those dynamic weapons we have, you know, look at the 6-7 games he played last year. He was putting up 30-plus points a game. Anytime you can do that in this league and defenses do his job, you can do some special things.
Is it painful to have to compliment a Clemson guy?
Nah, not at all. You know, I'm past those years, man. You know, we all teammates. We all brotherhood. That's the best thing about guys, you know, Clemson, South Carolina guys. You know, we hate one another, but we both have that competitive fire because it's an in-state rivalry, and it's a lifelong thing. But at the end of the day, we both teammates, and we're trying to win one common goal of the championship.
It is remarkable how many guys on each side of that rivalry there are in this locker room.
No doubt, man. You know, and that's a big credit to those programs. You know, Clemson and South Carolina just spitting out guys like that and having success and building guys the right way. So I think we're just trying to hold up our reputation as those guys and do the best we can for the Houston Texans.
One of the more iconic moments on Hard Knocks that we bring up on our show all the time was the very last moment of the first episode where you said we got to get the bleep out of Richmond. You got some inter-squad practices coming up with the 49ers after the first preseason game. Do you generally enjoy those, or are those more a labor of love? How do you like
it? It's a combination of both, because it can get like it got down in Richmond. Things can get a little chirpy, get out of hand.
Yeah.
And when it gets to that stage, you know, I come back to my comment, we got to get the hell out of here because we came here to work, not to fight. You know, but at the end of the day, you don't get pushed over and get bullied by anybody. That's because it's football. You got to hold your ground.
Yeah.
But I think it's good because a lot of times in preseason games, you don't get a lot of the work because guys are in and out. So you can work a lot of situational ball, you know, good ones versus ones. Other than just being four plays in the game, you can get 20, 30 reps in practice and things like that. So I think it's a good thing that the league is doing now, and I think it brings the best out in your team.
Last one, and it's about the new helmet rule. You know, they called it four times in the game last night in the Hall of Fame game. How much have you guys been talking about that? Has it been a talking point with the coaches? And how concerned are you about it as a player that it's going to be something that – you know, kind of maybe affects the game, the watchability of the game, the flow of the game?
I think you look at some of the way it's being called. Some of them I can see where they're coming from, and some of them you can't. But I think as a player, you can't play the game in that way worrying about it. You just play the game the right way. If you play the game the right way, you're being coached, see what you're hitting and things like that. Everything else to take care of itself.
That's Jonathan Joseph, a very candid Jonathan Joseph, in a conversation earlier today. My biggest takeaway from that interview is that Fred Bennett's greatest contribution to the Houston Texans was getting married so that he could invite both Jonathan Joseph, who, by the way, Fred Bennett was a Gamecock as well. Mm-hmm. He could invite Jonathan Joseph and Andre Johnson to be at the same wedding so that Andre could recruit Jonathan Joseph here back in the summer of 2011.
Pretty strong.
That's a huge contribution from Fred Bennett.
No doubt. Way to go, Freddie. That's
way
awesome,
to,
man.
Way to get married.
I thought it was interesting that he said that he believes in these guys, this front office, his coaching staff. When he said that he had gave up other offers to make
more
guaranteed money to stay here, that says a lot about Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien to me.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the fact that he was offered more guaranteed money says a lot about what the market still thought about Jonathan Joseph. P1 listener to the Triple Threat, by the way.
Apparently,
yep,
yeah.
Yep. His exact quote to me right before the interview, when I went up, I shook his hand. And I didn't know if he knew who I was, so I like with all these guys. Yeah. I tell him my name. I say, hey, you know, I'm on 610 and the postgame show, this and that. And he says, oh, no, Sean, I know who you are. I hear everything. That was exactly what he said. To which I said, Rich Lord is the one who hates you.
It's not what you said.
It's Rich is the one who hates you. And
you said that.
He said, I know. I know he does. I'll be calling in on Monday.
You're making all of this up.
Most of it, until the part where I brought you into the mix.
Although if he does listen, he probably knows I think he's shot.
I said, he's right there, Jonathan. If you want to punch him, he's right there. All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.